Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Believe. I'd like to start with number 30 on our hymn sheets. Weeping will not save me. Working will not save me. Waiting will not save me. Faith in Christ will save me. Can we stand and sing this hymn? Number 30. Weeping will not save me. Blessed God, our Father, hymn number 34. Precious, precious blood of Jesus, shed on Calvary, shed for rebels, shed for sinners, shed for me. precious blood, precious blood of Jesus, ever offered free. Oh, believe it. Oh, receive it. 'Tis for thee.
Precious blood of Jesus shed on Calvary, shed for rebels and for sinners, shed for me. Precious blood that
begin with in Acts chapter 17. Actually, two verses. Verse 30 and 31. Acts chapter 17, verse 30. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Another verse in First Epistle of John, chapter 3. First John, chapter 3, and verse 23. Just want to read the first part of this verse. This is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. Here we have, in these two verses we've read, something that God commands. I know we live in a democratic society, and it is hard for people to get the idea of what a command really entails. It was interesting for me, living in South America with my family for a time, under military regimes, you find that commands are something to be taken in all seriousness. You do not flaunt a command of a military commander. Here we find it is not a military commander we're talking about. It is the God of the universe who commands. What is it that he commands? Commands repentance. And he commands to believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. I want to speak this evening on that word, believe. There's other words in the Bible that relate to it. Faith is another word that is same thought. Another word is trust. And the Word of God uses it in many parts. And we'd like to refer to a number of them tonight. But it simply means, to believe means to simply trust. To have faith in what is said. You and I are, in this society we live in, surrounded by a barrage of information where people say today that everything is relative, there's no such thing as absolutes, and so people are, they question every single thing that they hear. And I would like to say at the beginning of this meeting, you are at liberty to question what I say. I have been mistaken many times in my life, and I probably will continue to make a number of mistakes if the Lord leaves us here in this world. But I want to tell you that there is a God with whom it is impossible to lie. You can believe Him. You can. In the Old Testament it says, trust in Him at all times, ye people. Trust Him. Trust Him. It says, God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. You got trouble, you can trust Him. You can trust Him. Says in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, a verse that we know quite well, many of us. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. We're trained to try to understand things. And so we tend to lean on our own understanding of things. But oftentimes I know you've had the experience, and I've had it many times, that our understanding is not very adequate. But I want to come back to that first part. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. You can believe Him. You can trust Him. He is to be trusted. I'd like to say, too, that faith is something that comes not naturally to the human being. The Scripture says that faith is the gift of God. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I didn't have faith naturally. God gave it to me. How did He give it to me? Another verse tells us, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We're reading from God's book here. This is God's Word. It not can only contains God's Word, it is the Word of the living God. You can trust it. There's a lot of things I don't understand in this book, even though I've read it for a number of years. But I believe it. I believe it. You know, people in this world are so geared to questioning everything that they don't know that there's places where you cannot question. And that is one of those places that you cannot question. Is the Word of God. Remember when I worked in the city of Chicago at a hospital downtown Chicago? One day I was in the cafeteria eating lunch, and across the table from me sat down a doctor. He was a Jewish doctor, very intelligent, had a very good reputation at that hospital. And I had a gospel tract in my pocket, and he looked over at me and read the title of the gospel tract, which was sticking up above the edge of my pocket. So I pulled it out and gave it to him. And he glanced over it a bit, and then he shoved it back to me. He says, "The trouble with you people is that you're blind. You believe what you don't understand." I said, "Excuse me, doctor, I'd like to ask you a question. Supposing you have the reputation in this hospital of never making a mistake in both the diagnosis you make of disease and the prescription that you give for the cure. You never make a mistake. That's the reputation you have. I come to you, I'm sick. And I say, 'Doctor, what's wrong?' And you give me a string of names of the disease I have and the particular way it's affecting me. I don't really understand a whole lot what you're talking about. I don't understand much about the medicines you're giving me. I only understand one thing, that you don't make a mistake. Am I blind to believe you when I don't understand you?" "Well," he said, "no." I said, "Well, I'm not blind either to believe a God that cannot lie." Kind of shuffled his feet under the table a bit and said, "Well, we'll talk about it another time." And he got up and went off. But that's the way we are geared to think as Americans in our society, to question things. You can question me, you're at liberty to, but don't question God. You can hang a question mark about me, but don't hang any question marks on God and His Word. God is to be trusted. You can believe Him. You can have complete faith in what He says. God cannot lie. What He says, you can believe with all confidence, for as much as you may not understand it." I'd like to say that I read that first verse about the command of God for repentance, because I believe it is an important thing that in some measure, I suppose, precedes faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are two things that are necessary for salvation. One is repentance toward God. The second is faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Those are two things that the Apostle Paul preached. You can find it in Acts chapter 20. If there is no repentance, you can profess faith, but you're still going the wrong direction. You need to repent. Repentance cannot save in itself, but repentance is necessary so that we might be saved. What saves is faith in Christ. And so I just want to say, especially to so many here who I know have been raised in Christian homes, have been brought up in meetings where we get together and hear the gospel, we've been hearing about in these meetings about being hardened to the gospel, and I'm afraid that takes place. You know why? I just have to speak from my own experience. I had parents who really cared about me, who set some limits in their home as to what I was allowed to do and what I wasn't allowed to do. I was protected largely from the messy stuff of this world. Thank God, I say now. Thank God. But you know what happens subtly in the human heart? We get to thinking, we're all right. I never have been that bad as those people out there. I am not on that level. And you know, we have to repent of that kind of thinking. We have to repent. Repent simply means a change of mind. It comes from the word pent. The root word is to think. Repent means to rethink. God says there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that seeketh after God. You and I might say, hey, wait a minute. I know a few people that are seeking after God. Yeah, you might say that. And it might be according to your idea. But the God of the universe who penned this book tells us there is none. And if you think you, because you were brought up in a Christian home, are a notch above the other people out in the filth and the perdition of this world, you've got another thing a-coming. You need to repent. You need to rethink the matter. I think it's important. God doesn't say, if you would like, you can repent. He didn't say, if you would like, you can believe. That's the way we like to present it as Americans, because we live in a free society, we say. Not realizing that behind the human will is a subtle enemy that is taking man towards destruction through the exercise of his own will. God doesn't say that. God commands to repent. God commands to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. What have you done with God's command? I think it is extremely serious to flaunt God's command. And so it's important to repent. I'd like to focus more, though, on believing. What are we to believe? If you go over to the Gospel of Mark, just to begin with, I'd like to point out a few things that Scripture speaks about believing. Believing, here we find in chapter 1 of Mark's Gospel, in verse 15, it tells us something to believe. And saying, this is Jesus, when he's beginning his earthly ministry, he's going out preaching, the end of verse 14, the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, ye, and believe the gospel. Believe the gospel. The gospel, the good news as to the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe it. Believe it. The gospel isn't a complicated message. No, the gospel is about a God who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, there's a God who made this world, who loves with a love you and I will never be able to comprehend. And he sent his Son into this world with the purpose of redeeming lost men and women. We were lost in sin, and he loved us so that he himself came in the person of the Lord Jesus to go to Calvary's cross, to be hung up there, to suffer terrible injustice from the hand of men. And as he was nailed there on that cross, God himself laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all and God's holy, righteous judgment against sin fell on Jesus in all its fury.
Jesus paid the price in full at Calvary. Jesus died. Christ died for our sins. According to the Scripture, He was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scripture. Believe it. It's the gospel. God raised Him from the dead because God was satisfied with the payment that Jesus had made for us in the question of our sins. Believe it. Believe it. Believe the gospel. There's something in the way of your believing the gospel. I say to you tonight, repent! Don't let anything get in the midst, in the way of you simply believing the gospel. I'd like to turn to another verse that it tells us about believing in John chapter 5. John chapter 5 and verse 24. Very well known verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Here it is, believing what? Believing God that sent Jesus. Believe God. He sent Jesus. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Believe God. If you hear His word, if you believe on Him that sent Jesus, Scripture itself says you will have everlasting life. You will not come into condemnation, but you are passed from death unto life. Here again it comes that word about hearing, because faith comes by hearing. You know, people sometimes talk about faith. Sometimes they say, I have a lot of faith, but I don't think they realize that the faith they're talking about is not the faith that God is talking about. The faith that God is talking about in Scripture, the faith that can save, is the faith that is based on the Word of God. It's so important to realize. And I want to ask you tonight, you who are sitting there, are you hearing? Notice it doesn't say in that verse I quoted in Romans chapter 10, faith comes by reading the Word of God. It says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Because it's necessary to have an ear opened to what God has to say. I've often seen in gospel meetings, I like to look out and watch people who are listening. And sometimes you can tell if the word's getting in. Are you listening? Are you hearing what God is saying? Do you hear it? You know, you can be hearing with these ears in your head. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, are you letting the Word of God penetrate into your heart and into your soul? That's what we're talking about. That's where it produces faith. That important matter of believing God. I remember some time ago when Bible Truth Publishers used to be located in Oak Park, Illinois. And a lady, nice respectable lady in the neighborhood who used to come in to the gospel meeting there. Quite often she came in. And she was very nice person, outwardly speaking, very respectable. And she would sit there and listen, but it was evident in the way she was sitting there that even though she was listening in a respectable way, the ears of her heart were fast shut. Somebody told me later on, before I had come to Oak Park, that she had come to a gospel meeting and come under tremendous conviction of the Spirit of God one night. And she resisted the conviction of the Spirit of God. And from that time, it didn't seem like there was any progress at all in her soul. She didn't hear. Oh yes, she was sitting there, but she wasn't hearing. And I fear that there are people sitting in meetings like this. You're listening, you're hearing somebody talk over there, but you're not hearing. Listen to me. When God speaks, if you want blessing, open those ears of your heart. Listen to God. Let it penetrate. Let it penetrate. Believe Him. So we have believe the gospel. And here we have believe on God that sent Jesus. But as we look through the New Testament, we're going to find that the vast majority of times we're told to believe, it's believing on the Son. Let's go back to chapter 3. Last night we had one of those verses I want to read again tonight. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son. But let's go back a few verses in chapter 3 to verse 14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Notice the word believeth. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son of shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. It's a question of believing. Believe on the Son of God. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing in Him. Believe Him. You can trust Him. And oh, the simplicity of it. It's not a matter of understanding a whole lot. It's a matter of trusting Him, of believing Him, of having your faith in Him. That's the matter. You know, somebody has given the illustration of faith or believing or trusting, that it is like the train as it goes down the tracks up ahead are the locomotives, the engines. Behind comes the cars. Those cars don't have any engines in themselves to propel them down the railway track. But there is between the engine and the cars something that's called a coupling. And because those couplings are in place, those cars go at the same pace as those engines that have all the power. There is no power in man to save himself. Absolutely none. Faith is the hand that reaches out and connects us to the power. Believe Him. That's simply it, my friend. How important to simply trust Him. I just find that in our society, trust is being undermined in almost all human relationships. And so people don't understand the idea of trust any longer. There is a God you can trust, holy trust. And we have been brought to know Him in the person of the Lord Jesus. Believe on Him. How important. I'd like to turn over to the 6th chapter too. And verse 47. Verily, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. It's the Lord Jesus speaking. He that believeth on me. Some of you have probably heard the story of the conversion of Brother Giovanni Graniti in Italy. Dear brother, he's been over to this country a few times. He was over in Lawrenceville this last year, and he told us again the story of his conversion. He was a young man, probably 19 years old, and he with his friends were in a pool room playing pool and smoking. And I don't know what it was. They evidently were doing something that wasn't in agreement with the authorities. But they had the door locked. And all of a sudden, they hear the knock at the door. And they send somebody up to the second story to look out and see who's at the door. They thought it might be the police. Anyhow, the person that went to look comes back and he says, just a man in a black suit. Let him in. And so they let him in. Happened to be a man called Leonardo Pierpato. And he came in and he looked around and he simply quoted this verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. According to what Brother Giovanni explains, he didn't really offer too much explanation of the verse. He just simply quoted it twice. That was all he had to say. Goes out, the door shut. Giovanni went home that night, and he could not get that verse out of his mind. Try as hard as he could. He tried to go to sleep. The Spirit of God had used that verse to impart life to that man. And Giovanni, to this day, shows the fruits of simply believing the message that God has sent concerning His Son. Oh, isn't it wonderful, the simplicity of it? It's not a complicated matter. Sometimes we make it a complicated matter, but it is a simple thing to simply believe God. I'd like to turn now to Romans chapter 3. Another thing that it talks about having faith in. Romans chapter 3. Let's begin with verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Here it speaks of faith in His blood. You know, faith grows the more we get to know a person, the more our faith grows. And so the more you get to know the God of the Bible, the more you get to know about the Lord Jesus Christ, the more your faith will grow. God is a God that can be trusted, we've mentioned before. And the more you get to know the various attributes of God, we've been speaking about quite a bit of that in speaking about the Lord Jesus, because the Lord Jesus is the image of the invisible God. If you want to get to know God, look at Jesus. You'll find out what God's like by looking at Jesus. And God is loving. Oh, how He loves. But God is light, and there is nothing that can be hidden from His eyes. He knows every single detail of your life. There may be things in your life that you think nobody knows about. God knows you. He knows every single detail of your life. He knows those things that you've already forgotten about. I've been astounded at people who remind me of things that I've done, and I've completely forgotten about it. But God knows every single detail of your life. And God is holy, and God is just. God cannot pass over sin lightly. Impossible. It would be to deny His own character. Absolutely impossible. And when it speaks here of faith in the blood of Jesus, what does it mean? It means this, my friend, that when the Lord Jesus paid the price of our redemption on the cross, when He was hanging there, in those 3 hours of darkness, paying the price for sin in full. At the end of those 3 hours of darkness, He cries, "It is finished!" Every single sin that I had ever committed was paid for in full by my Savior God on the cross of Calvary. Praise His name. Jesus died. And up that hill of Calvary came a soldier. And with his spear, and he saw that Jesus was dead already, he plunged it into his side, and out came blood and water. The testimony that life had been given up in full payment of the price of sin, because without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. God cannot pass over the question of sin lightly. And He will not, and He cannot, on those sins of people that even won't accept Him as Savior. Their sins must be paid for too. If you accept Jesus as your Savior, you can take advantage of what He did on the cross of Calvary. His blood paid the price for my sin in full at the cross of Calvary. But if you will not have Him, God is still holy and just, and He cannot pass over lightly your sin. You yourself will pay the penalty for your sins in the lake of fire forever. You can count on God. He's faithful. He is true. He is holy. You can trust Him to be that. God cannot be anything else. And so it is faith in His blood. It speaks of the remission of sins, which means the forgiveness of sins. It speaks also in verse 26 of being justified freely. God is just and the justifier of him that believes in Jesus. How can that be? If I try to justify a person who had flagrantly sinned, I would be unjust in justifying a person like that. How can God, being just, justify the sinner that believes in Jesus? How can He be that way? Because of the price that was paid in full at Calvary by the blood of Jesus. And so it speaks of faith in His blood. Another thing that we can believe tells us, Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. Let's read from verse 8. But what saith it? That is the righteousness which is of faith. What does that righteousness which is of faith say? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What is it that's to be believed here? Believe that God has raised Jesus from the dead. You know why that's so important? Because if God had not been fully satisfied with the payment that Jesus made on the cross of Calvary, he would never have raised Jesus from the dead. The fact that Jesus is risen and sitting at God's right hand is testimony to the fact that God, in all the holiness of his being, in all the holiness of his character, accepted the payment made and raised Jesus from the dead and didn't quit raising him until Jesus occupied the highest place in the universe, the right hand of the throne of God. Have you believed it? Believe it. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But I want to touch a little practical note. It's easy to say, I believe. It doesn't really cost a whole lot to put out those two words, I believe. And there's a lot of people in this country today, maybe a lot of people in this room, I don't know. I'm not here as a judge to be able to discern. But when you truly believe, it's going to be evident in your life. And I say this because there's a lot of people who say they believe, but their life is the same as any ungodly unbeliever in the world. I'd like to turn to the book of James, chapter 2. To see what James has to say about faith. Verse 17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, and thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? I want to be very clear here. Salvation comes through faith alone. But the true faith, which is of God, is a faith that works. And it shows itself in very clear forms. And if you are one who says you believe, but there is no practical evidence of your faith, the Lord Jesus himself said, by their fruits ye shall know them. You know why I say this? I was talking some time ago to a young man whose life gives no evidence of faith in Christ. And when I spoke to him, he was quite upset at me because I called in question whether he really believed. But the life he lived of debauchery, drunkenness, women, was evident he was not following Jesus. He was going another road. And he was quite adamant when I called in question the matter of his salvation that he had believed. And he said, that's all that's necessary to be saved. I said, that's all that's necessary to be saved is to believe. But when you truly believe, God, there is going to be evidence of it in your life. And I say that because sometimes there are those who are with us. There is no evidence in their life of a change. You say you believe. There were people in biblical times who took that position as well. We heard today about Judas Iscariot, one of the very disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, accompanied with him for 3.5 years in his life. Nobody questioned if Judas was false or not. When the Lord Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me, the disciples looked at each other. Who is he talking about? They didn't know. And maybe you're sitting there and everybody's convinced you're a Christian. And you know in your heart that you do not have the faith that comes from simply believing God's precious word. You know it. I want to awaken you tonight. You need to get serious with God. Judas had interest in following Jesus. This was mentioned today. He was the treasurer for the Lord and his disciples as they were going around. And when he needed a little extra cash of his own, he put his hand into that bag and he took it out for himself. He was a thief. He was interested because of money. I've noticed in South America lots of times, there's young men that come along and they get interested in making a profession of faith because they see a young girl they like. They'd like to get married to her. And they say, young girls that are believers are far more faithful than young girls that are not believers. And that's the kind of girl I'd like to get married to. But that's not the faith of God. That's not the faith of God. And Judas Iscariot had an awful end. He hung himself. And he fell down when he hung himself. And he burst in half. Where's Judas Iscariot tonight? He's in hell. He's in hell. Didn't he take the place of a believer? Yeah, he took that place. You taking that place tonight without being real with God? There's another person in the book of the Acts that it actually says in Scripture he believed. It was Simon the sorcerer. Simon the sorcerer was a great man. They said, this is the great power of God because he did many things as a sorcerer. But a greater power came to Samaria, the power of God and the gospel. And Simon the sorcerer was kind of displaced. He probably thought, well, I better join up with this new power that's come to town. And so he believes, it says. Scripture actually uses that word, he believed. And he was baptized too. And then Peter and John come down to Samaria, and he sees them laying hands on the disciples and giving the Holy Spirit. And he comes up and he says, here's some cash. I'd like to have that power too. Peter turns around and reproves him. Simon the sorcerer only had interest to being a great one. First of all, he was a great one as a sorcerer. Now he wanted to be a great one in the church of God. He never repented. Never had repented. Oh, how important it is. That faith was not valid faith. Oh, how important it is to be sincere with God, to not put conditions to God. Sometimes people say, how much faith do you have to have? You don't have to have more than a grain of mustard seed of faith. It's not important the quantity of faith it is. It's important the one you have faith in. You may trust me for some matter in life, and I may let you down because I don't have the power to fulfill what I promised you. But I can guarantee you, when you trust God on the grounds of what His Word tells us here, you can have assurance that He will keep His Word. God is to be trusted. You can trust Him. Before we close, I want to give one further scripture. Before I go to that scripture, I'd just like to say, in connection with that matter of faith, because I know there may be people here who have doubts. There was, in the life of the Lord Jesus, a man who brought his son to the Lord Jesus to cure him. He had a demon. He was possessed by a demon. And it was awful, because that demon would take that young boy and throw him into the fire, try to burn him badly. And then he would pick him up and he would throw him into the water to try to drown him. The devil only has his purpose is to destroy you. That's his only desire. And you know, that father brought that boy to the Lord's disciples. I guess he didn't see Jesus right away, so he brought him to the Lord's disciples. And the Lord's disciples should have had faith to be able to heal him, because the Lord had given that to them. But they didn't seem to be able to do anything. And maybe you have a person in your life that you wonder, why? I brought him to the brethren and they don't seem to be able to help him. And they brought him to Jesus. And it says, as he brought him to Jesus, the demon threw him down and tore him. Isn't that awful? And he comes to Jesus and he says, if thou couldst do anything, help us. Be moved with pity and help us. And the Lord Jesus says, all things are possible to him that believes. And you know what the man said? Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. In other words, he confessed, hey Lord, there's a lot of doubt in this heart of mine, but I really do believe underneath it all. And God honors that faith. It doesn't take much. It only takes a grain of mustard seed of that faith which is of God. Believe Him. Believe Him. One more verse before we close. Revelation 21. And this is a warning of the consequences of being unbelieving. He's talking about the eternal day after this world that we now know is gone forever, passed away. And it says here in Revelation 21 and verse 8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There's some pretty bad, serious type sins mentioned here. Murderers. Maybe you think you're all right. You cannot set yourself with people that are murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters. But who else is in that group that will spend their eternity in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone? Are the fearful and unbelieving. I want to ask you to please listen. I'm going to quote one more verse and then read one more verse to end this meeting. In fact, I'll read the one first in Romans chapter 15. One verse I want to read and then quote one. Please listen. Romans 15 and verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power
of the Holy Ghost. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Let's pray. Father, bless thy precious...